Thanks for tuning into the Secret Ingredient Podcast, where we believe that everyone has a story behind the story, and that is where their secret ingredient lives. And everyone can use that secret ingredient to build the relationships they need to grow their business through a combination of personalized custom content, social media, and paid advertising. Today's guest has been a long time coming. He has degrees, including a master's degree in history and education administration. He is an avid dancer, singer, and Winnie the Pooh impersonator. He's a grateful girl dad and husband to a saint. He loves to wear tiny shorts while on vacation and gives new meaning to packing light. He practices self-love and fiscal conservatism at a higher rate than I knew was ever possible. His favorite check to write every month is the one he writes to me for companionship. No one does fish face or uses Canva better than him. My guest today is, of course, the popcorn king of Saskatoon, the star of Will It Be Popcorn, my until today roommate, one-fourth of the Hot Boy Summer crew, Mr. Brent Van Fossen.
That was quite an introduction. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It has been a long time coming. I mean, I feel like we kind of do this every day, or used to.
Yeah, but keeping it off camera has probably been the prudent way in the past few years. So we'll have to keep ourselves in line.
Well, or have we actually been holding out on society to not put it out there?
Are they ready?
I don't know. Are you ready?
Well, for the dozens of people that are going to see this, there you go. A glimpse inside. We're going to pull the curtain back.
The tens of dollars. Brent, yeah. So we even have a nickname together. What is that? Bradham or something or other? Do they call us? What's the city call us?
Certain people. We're not going to call people out. But they, certain, yeah.
Yeah, they give us like a...
We had a nickname because sometimes, especially in the summer months, we're often seen together.
But it wasn't always that way.
It wasn't always that way. You and I mean...
How'd we
in
meet?
In the grand scheme of life, 6 years, 7 years ago? Six, 7 years ago?
Mm-hmm. Seven.
Dialing it back a little bit, I bought the original Metropolis Popcorn location in October of 2012. And after working out of that office out of the kitchen at the store for about 4 years, I really had started to feel a little cramped and not able to be as productive as I would like to be because there's machines going off, there's popcorn flying everywhere, people coming in, and this sounds terrible, but people coming in wanting to talk to me, sometimes to sell me stuff, but there were a lot of interruptions. And as our business grew, it became more and more important for me to have a space to work out of that I could concentrate on growing the business, continuing to grow the business, which on one hand took me away from my favorite part of the business, which is if I could, I would just stand and talk to people all day that came into the store because I've met so many interesting people and honestly have become friends with customers over the years. But I needed somewhere else that I could have as kind of a quiet place to work. So I moved literally across the street to I don't know if it's still called the Alhambra building or not, but it was called the Alhambra building and it was full of office suites. It's now where, what all is there? Hope Soap, Asterisk, Coffee, couple other store. Morty's Munchies, I think, is all right in the front end of that. Now it's transformed quite a bit over the past few years, but just so happened to move into this little closet of an office right across from.
That was a tiny office.
It was just about big enough for me and my large head and big hands. And not much else. I think a tiny mini fridge.
You had to exhale to go in.
Cramped. But it was it did the trick, and it put me across the hallway from this goofy guy with Guy Fieri hair and a couple other folks at that time the gosh, I'm blanking. The marketing department?
The marketing department.
Yeah, the marketing department.
TMD.
TMD at Falls River Square was the name of the outfit you were with at that time.
Yeah.
And we just had some casual conversations and talked a little bit about Facebook marketing and marketing in general. And then found out that you would, I think, just recently joined the Chamber of Commerce.
Right.
Because
that's what you do. I had no idea why, but I...
Yeah.
Yep, you joined the chamber.
Sure. Kind of what you do.
Mm-hmm.
You had recently joined, and I happened to be on the board at that time. And we got to talking about that and just little by little got to know each other a little more. And, you know, one of the things I appreciated was you knew that I needed help with marketing because I was adequate doing it on my own, but not great. But you didn't really press or push.
Right.
You were more concerned with just, you know, building a relationship with me as a person, as opposed to, you know, a dollar,
right,
a dollar amount or dollar sign. And I appreciated that because normally if people get too intrusive with my business, I kind of push back at them. I tend to do business with people that I like and respect,
mm-hmm.
Not people that try to tell me what I need or what I want.
See the blood in the water.
Yeah.
He has needs.
Yeah.
I can give them to him.
I do have needs. most of which you can't fulfill.
That's incorrect. Right here. You pay me for companionship.
we're gonna have to spend a long time explaining that one.
Nope.
Anyway, moving forward, I know you bring this up a lot, that one of the first things that you really remember about you and I becoming friends was I invited you to the Chamber Christmas dinner.
Yeah.
And invited you to sit at the Metropolis popcorn table,
mm-hmm.
Because we had a couple of empty seats and I knew you were a fairly new member and I just figured, you know, help this guy, this poor lost soul out so he can,
right.
He's pretty shy and didn't know very many people.
I may have been a little shy at that point though. Actually, I was trying to figure.
You hadn't quite come out of your shell yet.
No, I was trying to figure business life out.
Yeah.
I didn't know what I was doing. I had gone from being the top of my game at my job to starting this startup with a partner and not having a clue what I was doing and trying to figure that out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So just, you know, as a board member, I thought it would be good to take somebody as a newer member and do what I could to help introduce them to whoever it was they were trying to meet. By that point, I had been in the chamber 4 years and I think on the board at least one full year, maybe 2 years by that point,
mm-hmm.
and knew quite a few people and had gotten to know a lot in a short amount of time. So was happy to introduce you to, I don't know if I introduced you to anybody that night or not, but.
Well, you sort of introduced me to everybody.
Okay.
Actually, right. is what ended up happening that night. And I think you know now, but you certainly didn't know, and neither did I, what that night was going to do. Because that inadvertently kind of opened the floodgates of Adam getting involved in the chamber. And, you know, fast forward, you know, 7 years here or whatever, I'm on the board, have been for a few years myself, and, you know, fairly instrumental in some of the things that we've been doing. But that was where I actually understood what a chamber was and what that was going to – how that was going to benefit. But it also indicated to me that my circle was changing,
mm-hmm.
that inner circle, that those folks that I allowed in were going to change how life was going to be moving forward. So probably fairly agnostic, you know, thing for you to say, hey, you want to go to this thing. But very, very prominent in how the future kind of unfolded,
mm-hmm.
for me anyway.
Yeah, for sure. That was 16 or 17. And then fast forward about a year later, I think I finally did engage the marketing department to start working with Metropolis. And at some point in that period, you would move to Portage Trail.
Yeah, we took over a larger space.
To that office.
Yeah.
We were working with you for about a year and a half. And then you moved to Front Street,
mm-hmm.
in 2018, I believe.
Yep.
And right around that time, I had reached out. It was a much bigger office, and I had reached out to you and kind of like a homeless child. I said, is there any office space there that I could kind of sublease from you just for a few months? Because again, we were growing and I needed some more space. Secondary reason, and just as important, is I enjoyed the conversations that we would have about business and marketing. And I thought, you know, that it would be good for us to have those conversations more often. And so sharing that space definitely, in my mind, whether I realized it at the time, that was going to help further our business. And, you know, how true that was, little did I know. That was in the spring of 2018, and those few months became 5 years. And I don't know if anybody caught you saying in the intro that I was your roommate until yesterday, but I moved out. I moved out yesterday.
Let me send you off to college.
I know.
Yeah.
I know. I got my little fridge back.
I'm honestly not sure. I don't know if I'm okay about it. It's a little weird.
Yeah.
We sort of had our own little think tank there for a while. We had, our nephew John.
Yep.
Was in there as well, and sort of this inadvertent what I call a board of directors, right?
Well, that's how I referred to you and John and Nadia, another one of your workers, mm-hmm. People who I really respect and value their insights and opinions. I refer to you as my board.
Mm-hmm.
You're the closest thing I have to a board.
Well, I think we all need that, right?
Yeah.
We need something to bounce those ideas off of and kick us in the ass sometimes when we need it. I mean, that's definitely happened. I remember sitting at Hi-Ho and getting kicked in the ass by you and John once. And again,
how your company started.
Yeah. And we probably would not be sitting here had that conversation not happened.
Right.
I remember kicking you in the ass one day about what are we doing here? What's going on? And,
the day the world was canceled in March of 2020.
Well, there was that.
There was that momentary panic of like, what am I doing? What's going to become of my business? We got to shut everything down. Right. And, I mean, thankfully that only lasted about 6 hours. And then you helped straighten my head back on and turn it around so I could see it as an opportunity, as opposed to a threat. But
when you ended up growing through that time period.
Oh, tremendously.
Tremendously.
That
right?
Year.
So the exact opposite of what we were afraid of. And I think we'll get into the evolution of the business here. I want to get into the early Van Fossen years first.
How far back do you want to go?
Well, I mean, so one of the things that we connected on early on was that we were both farm boys.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm not sure that people know that, people that just know us or whatever. I'm from Southern Ohio. You're from like two counties over in basically the same exact town, but two counties over. It's the same thing. Little town square. It's the county seat. And
right.
Whatever. You're from Carrollton.
Right. We moved. My family's from Ohio, but we moved around quite a bit. And I was actually born in New Hampshire, and then, which is why I'm, a Red Sox fan, even though I have my Guardians hat on. We moved back to Ohio in, I think, 79. And so Ohio is my home. And I did grow up on a farm in Carrollton, right in the middle of the foothills of the Appalachian Mountains. So it's very rural. Most of my graduating class either went right into the workforce or into the military. I went off to college. First person in my family to graduate from college, which at the time I didn't think it was a big deal, but it really is somewhat mm-hmm. of a big deal because
sure.
it's usually you grow up and you kind of go through a cycle. There are people, and not saying this is right or wrong, but things are generational. You typically have parental figures and you kind of repeat whatever they did career-wise or educationally or things like that. And if you deviate from that cycle, it is kind of a big deal. And my parents did a great job of raising me, and I'm thankful they're still around and I can tell them that. But I was one of the few people in my immediate friend group that went off to college.
And you originally went to West Lib. Is that the Hilltoppers?
The Hilltoppers, West Liberty, West Virginia.
Just up the hill from Wheeling.
Yeah.
And you get that Wheeling feeling.
you had to drive down off the hill to get into Wheeling if you wanted any kind of, you know.
Anything.
Nightlife, entertainment, or anything like that. West Lib was just a small, really small college town. I think the town itself was smaller than Carrollton.
Did you ever come across Moondog when you were in Wheeling?
Moondog.
Moondoggy.
Tell me who Moondog is.
I don't know. He was a dude that rode a bike all around town.
I don't know
He was just known, sort of like Kenny here.
He was the Kenny King of Wheeling.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't think I ever saw Moondog.
Moondog.
No. I think I would have known if I'd have seen a guy named
Moondog. He was memorable.
Yeah. If your name is Moondog, you don't just kind of fly under the radar.
All that nice, frankly.
Did he like chew on bones and stuff like that?
I think there was some yelling.
Okay.
Occasional, yeah.
So he's different than Kenny. Kenny doesn't yell at people.
No, Kenny honks.
Kenny honks.
Yeah.
Love you, Kenny King.
you too. You're a big fan.
I do. I get excited when I see him.
Yeah.
I lasted one semester at West Lib.
Too small or what?
It was. I thought I wanted a small experience at college. And
were you there with other people from Carrollton as well?
There were a couple other people from my graduating class there.
Okay.
And yeah, I mean, I saw them, made a few friends, but in the end I got homesick and just wasn't ready really to be out on my own quite yet. I was young for my grade. Like I had just turned 18 over the summer between my senior year and freshman year of school. And I just don't think I was mature enough or confident enough or ready to go off to school. So I moved back home and commuted to the Kent State Tuscarawas campus.
Where is that?
New Philadelphia.
In New Philly. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So about 25 miles each way. But I have family right uphill. Around New Philly.
Uphill both ways.
Yeah, uphill both ways. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I have family right around there. And, you know, thank goodness my grandma was there. My aunt was there. And, you know, I could go to their house for dinner and or in between class or things like that. I did that for a semester. And as much as I disliked being away my first semester, I hated commuting that much more.
Right.
So I kind of, you know, I got my stuff together and I'm like, all right, we're going to do this again, hit the reset button. And by this time, you know, I'm 19, feeling a little bit more or older feeling a little bit older and more mature because at 19, you're very mature.
Sure.
Anyway, and moved up to Kent into Dunbar Hall. And
that's where you... That's where I learned how to prepare food.
That's where I became myself. I found myself.
How often do you go back to campus, Brent? You're out there.
When the mood strikes.
So normally, once a month or so?
Oh, no. Normally there's
you'll wander around and
I enjoy going back for basketball games.
Yeah.
For 20 some odd years now, they've had a great basketball program. Mm-hmm. So I enjoy going back for games. And now that Rachel, my older daughter, is in high school, and we're thinking about college and whatnot with her, she loves going for any reason, but especially, you know, she loves going over to basketball games.
Yeah.
She's as big of a KSU basketball fan as I am.
They do. So. The kids do love them some KSU.
They do.
They do.
They do.
Yeah, they know I went to Akron, and they often harass me.
Yeah, that's why they give you the stink eye.
I get stink eye. I get fish face. I get all sorts of tomfoolery.
They call you poopy head or
– There was the poopy head. I still find notes from them in my car.
they like you. In fact, Rachel's turning 16 here in a couple of weeks, and you are one of three of my, as they call them, my dad friends, that they said are allowed to come. So,
Oh yeah.
Or that Rachel said is allowed to come. Yeah.
That's hilarious.
I think we have to stay outside though.
Wow. That's probably where we were going to want to be.
Yeah. So,
that's, I'm very excited. Thank you. We'll be outside.
Yeah. We'll be out here, you know,
roasting
hot dogs.
King of the Hill.
Yeah. Yeah. We're going to stand around the grill and
talk about the grill.
Talk about propane and propane accessories.
So Brent, I listed your degrees here earlier, and none of them were popcorn related. So what'd you do after college? You probably had some decent corporate job with, you have a master's and stuff, right?
I have a master's in higher education administration, which is that's college and university level stuff. So I worked in admissions and recruiting for a couple of years. I was at Bethany College, which is right down the street from West Liberty. It's a beautiful little school. I loved living there. It was just this tiny little town, tiny little school. That was my first job.
I remember you worked there.
I did.
I mean, I've spent a lot of time at West Lib and Bethany. I mean, I'm not from exactly there, but that was like the closest campus that you would go to or whatever. I've spent a lot of time in Wheeling and whatever. Yeah, it's really interesting.
The Bethany Bison.
Yeah.
Just one bison.
Just one.
I loved it. That was a great first job. Full-time job anyway. Spent some time at Ohio State.
You did?
Worked there. I did.
I did not know that.
Yeah, I did.
I mean, your love of Ohio State should have should have clued me in, but.
Ohio State is an amazing academic institution. I mean, first rate. Everything and anything you could think of is there.
Yeah.
Now, am I the biggest Buckeyes sports fan? No.
Because there's no room for your love of KSU.
I mean, as an institution, amazing.
Yeah.
And talk about an easy place to recruit people to.
Yeah. Like, I would imagine.
Imagine, okay, I go into a high school and at one point I was saying I'm from Bethany College, and then my next job, I'm saying I'm from Ohio State.
Right.
One's a little easier sell than the other.
I just walk in yellow H and see what happens.
I could have done that and probably would have been just as effective as droning on about the Honors College or, the medical pro. I mean.
But you love droning on. So.
I'm droning on today.
you're just fine.
It's what I do.
So that recruiting. So
I did that. I worked for Sylvan Learning Center. I was a center director is what it was called.
Okay.
And it's like being a store manager. You oversee the teaching staff. You do presentations to prospective families and students that are coming in for supplemental education, things like that.
I thought those were franchises. Those are not franchises.
Some are, some aren't.
Really?
Some are corporate owned. I don't know what it's like now. I mean, this is pushing 20 years ago that I was with them, but some of them are corporate owned. Some of them are franchisee owned.
Okay.
I worked initially for a small franchise group that then was bought out by corporate. So I saw it on both sides, but I worked there, loved working with the kids, had a great 3-4 years there, but then an opportunity came along to kind of step completely out of education. And I went to work for the Cox Auto Martin Auto Trader publications. Okay. I did that. I made that move in 2006 and met some great people there. I'm still friends with my old boss. His daughter actually works for me and manages our food trucks now. Talk about things coming full circle. Worked there for about 3 years. And if you're old enough to remember what happened around 2008, the economy just went in the toilet, particularly the automotive industry. So anything automotive related at that time just went kaput. Couple that with, I was in the mostly in the print publication side of it, and you had the emergence of the autotrader.com, yeah. And then there was cars.com. I don't know if that's still a thing or not. I think it is.
I would say.
Yeah. Yes. We had a website as well, but it was like kind of a distant number three. Mm-hmm. And it was we sold that product too, but we were primarily focused on the print publications, which had, you know, dominated automotive advertising for years. If you remember walking out of your grocery store, there would be like a whole magazine rack, and half of them, it was either real estate or cars.
Yeah.
Yeah. We had all the print titles, and those kind of one by one just fell off. And there was a massive downsizing right between Christmas and New Year's of 08 to 09. And New Year's Day, or day after New Year's, when we all came back to work, we got word that, like, I think it was 1,500 of us were going to be given severance packages and, you know, thanked for our service. So I was one of those 1,500. And
To go pick up all the magazine racks at all the Farm and Fleets?
Who did? Not me. At that point, I don't know if anybody did. I mean,
remember Farm and Fleet?
Quality Farm and Fleet.
Yeah,
I do.
Yeah.
Heck yeah. I don't know if anybody cared at that point, because they're like, we're all losing our jobs. We'll just let them sit there.
And so this is the point that you decide you don't want to do this anymore.
Well, no, I was a slow learner. I went back to work for Sylvan Learning Center, but a different franchise group. All this time in the back of my mind, I wanted to do something on my own and start my own business. When I got downsized at Auto Mart and Auto Trader, my good buddy, Mark actually started up his own business. And I was always envious of him for taking that leap, back in 09. I was a few years later, 'cause I went back to work, you know, took this steady salary and, Mark now owns the Great Stuff Warehouse in Mentor, Great Lakes Mall.
Or if he'd make a good interview.
He would bring a lot of entertainment. A lot of entertainment to the table.
Yeah. Well, as usually the folks I meet.
We'll tag him below. You've met him.
Have I?
Yeah. We went to a Rubber Ducks game.
I did. I met him. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So I went back to work for Sylvan Learning Center. And this time I was, what was my title? Regional manager, something like that. Basically oversaw all of the locations in Cleveland, Akron, as far as Youngstown to the east, and then down to Cincinnati. That company grew by leaps and bounds by acquisition in the 3 years I was there, all the way down to Louisville. It split off, and I was then, you know, able to kind of keep my footprint a little smaller and work up mostly in the north, not have as much travel, which was nice. But in 2012, or 2011, the No Child Left Behind Act expired. That was a George W. Bush initiative. And then during the Obama presidency, it expired and wasn't renewed. That was a big part of our funding at that point. When that went away, that took a ton of revenue away from the company.
Is that why you hate Obama?
When did I say I hate Obama?
You never said that. I got all between two firms.
You said
we
weren't talking politics.
And then you have mentioned two presidents.
I mentioned their names, correct.
I got all between two ferns on you. I'm sorry.
I did mention their names. You are correct.
No Child Left Behind.
No Child Left Behind. That expired, took money out of our company inadvertently. And again, summer of 2012, I was given another severance package and thanked for my service. And they wished me luck on my future endeavors. And I I called it the summer of Brent, because in June I got the severance package and I did all sorts of landscaping projects in my yard and just enjoyed the summer.
It was a Seinfeld reference right there.
That was. Yeah. Summer of Brent. But the summer of Brent, you know, only had so much funding. And so
right.
I started looking.
And you can only get canned from Sylvan so many times. They quit giving you cash.
Not canned, downsized.
Downsized.
Yeah. big difference. Downsized means severance package.
Yeah. Yeah. I got a nice severance package once.
Yeah. Painful either way, but the second time I was downsized was the last time, and I just decided never again. So I decided to find something that I could purchase, operate myself, not put my career, my family's financial livelihood in anybody else's hands but my own. And
right,
that summer is when I discovered Metropolis was for sale.
And Metropolis was a super successful business doing a ton of cash, whatever. And you took all your severance money and said, this is a cash cow. I'm going to live comfortably forever.
Incorrect.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it historically had done some pretty decent sales figures. Although the early years of the business, they're very gray. I'll just say that. I don't know exactly how successful it was. When I bought it in 2012, all I could go off of was the tax returns that I was given for the previous, I think, 3 years, and it had just fallen off a cliff. The previous year, I don't remember the exact amount, but it was next to nothing. It was open, supposed to be open 3 days a week, I think, but that was if the owner was there. It often wasn't open. It took me about a year to really reestablish it and help people understand that it's a different ownership. We're, you know, a family owned business. We're here at that time. We were 6 days a week. We're here 6 days a week for consistent hours. If it says we're open, 11 to 8, we're open 11 to 8.
Right.
That was something that people had lost confidence in. It doesn't take long for people to lose confidence in a business. One or two bad interactions, usually the second time, people just, they move on.
Well, you've established a pattern at that point, right? Like now you've established consistency.
Yeah.
When we think about consistency, we generally think about that's a positive thing.
Right.
But we can just as easily establish shitty consistency.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like you're a mess.
Yeah. Are we allowed to cuss?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
I don't know if I will. I just wondering.
It's freedom.
Okay.
I dropped words earlier before when we were testing.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Mm-hmm. Kids, earmuffs.
Colorful language. So I'm very straight-laced with my.
Yeah.
Yeah. With my oration.
Yeah.
So the couple of things that you've already named, right? And then there's more of where you saw the potential or whatever of why you would buy a business that was not necessarily doing great. Does it strike you as odd that some of those things seem like just pretty obvious? Like be open so you can be purchased from.
Yeah.
Like you can't sell anything if no one can get in the door.
Right. Right. It seemed very obvious to me, but I still see now people just kind of being open when they feel like it.
Yeah, this isn't Savannah, Georgia. Like you can't, it isn't a 7-ish.
Yeah,
we can open, right? You know, although, that laid back kind of whatever. That's a vibe.
It works for flurries. They open at, I think, 6:30-ish.
That's a Southern thing.
Yeah,
yeah,
and that fits Kim's personality perfectly.
It does.
She's does. So laid back. So
but fun. But they still open.
But they do open every day.
Right.
Yeah.
I that's a thing. Like I don't
in a understand tourist town. Take North Myrtle Beach for example.
Tourist sing town. The song.
No.
Okay.
There's the main drag in North Myrtle Beach, Main Street. Those shops don't have regular hours. And the reason is they're souvenir shops. They're ice cream shops. They're candy shops. They rely almost solely on foot traffic.
Right.
And that foot traffic is only there when certain times a year, it's only there. So we've been down to North Myrtle Beach twice this year. Once was between Christmas and New Year's. It was unseasonably nice, but there still weren't that many people there. So only a handful of shops were open, and they all closed down basically at sunset, which during that time of year seems like it's, you know, 2 p.m, but like 5:00. We went down over spring break, and there's a lot more people there. So all the shops were open, but again, only till about sunset because it's still not the peak travel time of year.
So back up. You've been to North Myrtle Beach twice this year.
I have.
The popcorn business is good. Jeez, it's like May today.
I like vacation.
Absolutely.
I like the beach.
Absolutely.
I do.
What were the other opportunities? So you see this business, yep. you go, you know what? They're not even really open. Popcorn, the margins, I'm sure, have to be decent. Sure. I would imagine. Nothing wrong with that. You have to have margin, right? But then what struck me in our conversations throughout the years was that you immediately identified that not all the distribution channels were being utilized. It wasn't just open. It wasn't just quality. It wasn't just customer service. You saw an opportunity to flat sell more popcorn in markets that it was not being sold. Talk to me a little bit about that, because I think business owners don't see the opportunity all the time. Mm-hmm. And you did.
This one of the things that surprised me most about this industry that I never knew I would be a part of is how many different ways you can sell, how many different channels you can have. You have the retail sales, you have the e-commerce sales. You also have the popcorn fundraiser.com, which is our fundraising arm. So, you know, nonprofit groups like schools and baseball teams, things like that can make money selling our products. And
so sidebar, really cool. I love that. That's one of those things. That's what I call a triple win.
Yeah.
Right. So everybody wins.
Everybody
wins. The organization wins, you win, and the customer wins.
Everybody makes money.
Everybody wins.
Everybody makes money. Customers get a good product. It's great for marketing for us because mm-hmm. it gets products out into hands that maybe hadn't had our products before. There's the corporate gift side,
yep.
which is heavily skewed towards fourth quarter for Christmas gifts and holiday gifts. And then there are things like wholesale. There are things like the food truck, which we got into much later.
Yeah.
There's weddings, special events, just myriad ways to move more product. And even some ways that we tried and got into, had some success with, but don't do anymore.
I think I know what you're talking about.
You certainly do.
I was there.
You were there. You were there when when the roof blew off the shop practically. Because of the popping.
It was popping.
Yeah. There are just so many different ways to move a relatively simple product. And that was one of the things that once I learned a little bit about this, even before purchasing Metropolis, you know, in the fall, late summer, fall of 2012, as I started looking into this, I'm like, man, there are so many ways that either aren't being utilized or that maybe are kind of, or I guess underutilized.
Yeah.
That really I could really hone in on and grow the company substantially in a short amount of time. The old owner had a lot of great ideas, and credit to him for this concept.
Right.
But his interest went elsewhere. And so I came in and ran with it.
Ideas are only part of it, right? So ideas are great. I mean, there's a reason in EOS we have a visionary and an integrator and then people that implement,
yeah.
right? So that's great. You've got good ideas. You have to actually do them.
You and I have great ideas all the time.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that to, you know, pump up our egos. We do.
Yeah.
Now, how many of those have we actually implemented?
Not enough. A
fraction of them.
Yeah,
not enough. For whatever reason, whether it's first and foremost, time.
Time. Bandwidth.
Having the right people to carry things out.
Sure.
Is the other one. Could be an issue, you know, funding. You know, a lot of ideas are expensive to get off the ground.
Well, and if you're going to go to Myrtle Beach twice a quarter.
I'm planning on being there four times this year.
We got one coming up.
We got one. Yeah. We got one on the books. We got one
coming up.
But it does. I mean, it takes the want to and the passion and the drive to want to get behind an idea to really see it through. And yeah, I mean, I have great, wonderful ideas all the time for what I could do with the popcorn business or maybe something else that I haven't even talked about yet.
Right.
How many of those do I really want to get behind and put the time and money and effort and passion into like I did Metropolis 10 years ago?
Right.
Because it needed. Well,
that resource has to come from somewhere.
Yeah.
And so when you pull it from where you're pulling it from, right. What effect is that? Yeah. Is as well.
Yeah.
You know, it's such the simple concept, but I think that it gets overlooked and it cannot be understated or overstated. The idea that we can have the best product or service in the world. We can know where it needs to go, right? The audience, the target market, whatever buyer persona, whatever you're going to call that. And then really what it boils down to is who distributes better. It boils down to distribution. Have I explored all the channels to get that product or service to the people that need it?
Yeah.
Or will buy it.
Yeah. And by distribution, not just, you're not talking about, you know, loading it up on a big semi truck and sending it to Giant Eagle and
I buyer, just mean connect the dots.
Getting it out into consumer hands, whether that's somebody walking into the store, shipping it to somebody, you know, individually, whatever. There have been, I mean, 10 years here, I've seen so many businesses come and go. Some of them were maybe there wasn't the need for the product.
Yeah.
Some of them, there was definitely a need, but it was not distributed consistently or effectively. Or
they just weren't open.
which is poor distribution.
Yes.
But even the ones that were distributed effectively and had good products, some of them can fail too.
Right.
Some
fail because of success.
There's no silver bullet.
They can't keep up with the success.
Yeah.
I was always worried about that. Our ability to execute our sales. I thought we were going to be better at selling our product than we were in keeping up with execution.
I mean, your business is an example. You've grown a lot.
We have.
And you've had to make some very prudent hires.
Lucky.
Whether it was, you know, full-time, fractional, whatever, but you had certain needs and you identified those needs and plugged some very good people into those holes to fill those needs so that you can continue to distribute the service.
Yep.
To your clients. It's not easy. And you're right. Growth can kill a business.
Sure can. And thinking about how to duplicate, that's the other thing. You don't really change the model in any of the ways that you're distributing. You're still just making popcorn and put it in containers and getting it out there. Like you're not reinventing the wheel with any of those channels.
Right.
That's the other thing that's interesting. There's not a whole lot to break, and that's and it's huge.
Yeah.
You got something new brewing. You want to talk about it?
I don't think we can talk about it yet.
Okay.
Because there's still a major hurdle.
We
have to overcome a hurdle, but it's related to why, you know, we're not roommates anymore and why I am moving into a new space. And as soon as you know, as soon as I'm able to talk about it, I definitely will. But
well, but it falls in line with the growth that you've had the last couple of years, right? Yeah. So you acquired another location, trucks, you know, probably looking for potentially another location at some point if it's the right fit, because you know the model now,
right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know if we touched on it or not, but during the COVID year, we purchased the popcorn business that had been operating in Hudson since 2009. We had an opportunity to buy that store, and too good to pass up at that time.
Well, the original conversation, I remember talking to you about this on a couple different occasions, and then it presented itself again. Mm-hmm. But even the second time that it presented itself, you were not going to do it.
Right.
And you changed your mind. Why was that?
Yeah, I had had multiple conversations actually with like 2 owners ago.
Yeah.
I had a conversation about purchasing that business. And then it sold to a different party, and then that party was looking to sell in 2020. And you're right. At first, I didn't want anything to do with expanding into another town, another storefront. In that year, 2020 is going to go down as the most fascinating year of our lifetime.
Yeah,
because it changed so much.
Everything.
It changed it. It was the worst year, but it was the best year for in a lot of ways. And I think some of the things that made it the worst made it the best, as weird as that sounds. That's when we expanded. That's when I learned a valuable lesson, which is this sounds very, very obvious, but you can't get anything done in your organization without the people within your organization,
right.
Which I knew, but I was always like more of the hands-on owner operator. And when I thought about expanding into another storefront, another city, it in my mind, my first thought was, well, that just, you know, means I'm going to be working X number more hours instead of thinking of it as I need to get a different quality of person to help me manage the stores so that I can still work, you know, as normal of a work schedule as possible, which is when you're, you know, a business owner, it's always a little wonky, but you know, I don't want to be working 90 hours a week, 80 hours a week if I don't have to. And getting the right people in the right positions, kind of like we talked about your growth.
Yeah.
I mean, you could have tried to take on everything as you grew.
Sure.
But you're going to kill yourself doing that.
Well, I remember this conversation, and it was, you know, double the stores, double the work.
Right.
I can't do it. And I remember we talked through that, and it's like, well, maybe you use the other store to fund. You use that to fund what you need.
Right.
Let's look at this a little bit differently.
Yeah, it allowed us the revenue to offer a higher salary to the manager to help manage both locations and have
and be key, more attractive.
Key people at the store that were paying a little bit more to manage the single point store. You know, have somebody now. We've added another popcorn food truck to the fleet. Now we've got somebody that's managing both trucks.
A popcorn food truck. So you now essentially have four stores, right? So you have two physical locations and now two food trucks that you can deploy wherever.
Right.
And the turnaround on that is just ridiculous. Very low man hours, right? Your payroll's nothing. It's pretty interesting model.
The food truck
model's fun.
It's cool. That's been my favorite part of growth is acquiring that food truck that we acquired when we bought the Hudson store. And then earlier this year, we did add the second truck. And so this season, which is just getting underway, we're going to be able to hit two events in the same day because we have multiple trucks and there's probably demand for more. Last summer was the first summer that things really were back as far as summertime events and things like that. And we were getting requests on the same day and we're turning it down because we're already booked. And I'm like, we're leaving money on the table. Now, you know, years ago, I would have, it wouldn't have bothered me. Because I would have, if, you know, I was thinking of being at a different event, then I would have thought of it as how would I be at that other event?
Yep.
I can't be two places at once.
Yep.
And that's correct. There's only one of me. But again, getting the right person in charge of managing and then managing that person so that we can have multiple trucks out at multiple events, bringing in, on a Saturday night, four different streams of revenue.
That's insane.
Two stores, two trucks.
Well, and in the food truck, that the way that you've constructed that is something that I like to do as well is empower someone, the right person, to kind of create their own business inside of your business, like an entrepreneur. Mm-hmm. And I think we're going to see more and more and more of that in 2023 and beyond when owners start thinking of it that way, because they're not going to hire Z's if they don't start thinking a little differently
right.
about how they're compensated and what their flexibility looks like and that sort of thing. So it's an interesting model.
Yeah.
And it seems to be working for you.
Yeah. I think you and I have a little, and I think all entrepreneurs have a little bit of that Gen Z mentality.
Absolutely.
In them. Like,
yeah.
Okay. I'm helping you grow your business, but what's in it for me?
Yeah.
Well, you have the ability to compensate people especially as a small, very nimble business.
You sure do.
You have the ability to compensate people for growth. So you pay them, I'll pay them X number or X dollars per hour, or, here's your salary, but also you booked that food truck event and we sold that amount. Well, here's a percentage
Everybody
of that.
Everybody can win.
Here's a percentage of that. And there's plenty left over for me.
Yeah.
So
it's that idea of everybody can win.
Right.
It's not just about it. Let's make that contract make sense.
Right.
Let's make it, capitalism works both ways. It's supposed to work both ways, and that's okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I like capitalism.
When it works. I love that capitalism until socialism has to bail it out.
Until socialism comes along with a big check and
has to bail it out. Yep.
That was a
very left turn.
That's a whole other podcast.
I don't think I'm doing that one.
No?
No, I'll keep that to myself in the office. No,
you don't want
to
ruffle some feathers?
I ruffle enough feathers.
That's true.
I do. Yeah. So I end every show with five rapid questions.
Okay.
Okay?
All right. Hit me.
Beach or mountains?
Beach.
You ever been to the mountains?
I have. Colorado.
You enjoyed it, though.
I did. I blew my mind.
Hot Boy Fall.
Yeah. I've never seen anything. Like, I've been to, West Virginia. I've been to the Green Mountains in New England, but the Rockies are on a different level.
There's something about it.
It's magical.
It really is. There's something.
You drive up what seems like forever, and you get out of your car, and you look around, and you realize you're only like halfway up as high as the peaks that you're looking at.
Yeah, there's something I would say spiritual about mountain. There's something about it. IPA or stout?
IPA.
IPA?
Yeah.
Jean shorts or jean jacket?
both. The Canadian tuxedo, baby.
And super short. I said not Daisy Dukes. What's the strangest person you've ever had come into the shop? And I don't mean strange as in like odd acting, because that would probably be, me. Or,
oh, no, you're not even top 10.
but the oddest person that you found, I mean, you've had some celebrities in there and some dignitaries and whatever. And
yeah, we've had, Congressman Ryan, Tim Ryan was was at the shop. We've had some, we're right down the street from the Sheraton Suites. And so anytime there's like a Kent State or Akron football game, whoever is playing them usually stays there.
Right, right.
And so we've had a lot of the coaches that have come in. I'm sure there have been other people. We had pro wrestling managers in the shop.
That was Tommy Dreamer's wife.
Tommy Dreamer, right? Yeah. I think it's his manager, not his wife, but
I think they're married. His and manager.
Oh, okay. Yeah. You may be right.
I think I could be wrong. PJ Fleck,
may be crazy. PJ Fleck, row the boat.
Trestle,
I met.
Wasn't in the shop.
No. When he was at Akron, his office ordered from us all the time.
Gotcha.
So I met him. He spoke at the chamber luncheon. Maybe my first year
that was of
ownership. And I went to shake his hand and I told him that I was owner of Metropolis Popcorn. And he started talking about, oh, yeah, I remember ordering this flavor and this flavor.
That doesn't surprise me.
And I'm like, you're Jim Trestle. Like, you won national.
You're the one doing the ordering.
Yeah, you've won a national championship. And I'm some guy that owns a little popcorn store. And you're telling me how much you remember about my products. That blew my mind.
That's crazy.
So not in the shop, but you know, he's been a consumer.
That's pretty cool.
We've served a lot of celebrities over the years. Like when Aerosmith played at the, Tom Benson Stadium for the Hall of Fame game, their caterers ordered from us. We've catered, like private jets for people that were getting inducted into the Pro Football Hall of Fame.
Remember you did T.O. something with T.O. one time.
Terrell Owens. Yeah. Somebody sent Terrell Owens popcorn from us when he got elected into the Hall of Fame.
One of the housewives did an unboxing with you one time. You've done all sorts of weird stuff.
Yeah.
I can't remember who that was.
I've got pictures with Ronald McDonald.
Is that your favorite clown? That's not the last question.
Name a more famous clown than Ronald McDonald.
Bozo?
Come on. Has he served billions and billions?
Pennywise? All right, last question. What's your favorite sandwich?
My favorite sandwich? Probably the black and blue burger from Farmer's Rail.
That's pretty tasty.
I mean, holy cow.
It's pretty tasty.
Yeah. I get that about every other week. It's one of the best burgers I've ever had.
I only know that it's good because Brent said it's good because I would never order. My wife might be watching.
Oh, are you not supposed to eat beef?
Anything delicious is probably off limits for me.
I recommend swapping out pickles for onions or onions for pickles. Get pickles on it.
Mm.
Delicious.
I love a good blue cheese. Oh. It's like ranch for adults.
That burger is banger. Crazy. Yeah. So,
all right, my man, that is it. We finally did it. We've only been talking about doing it for a while. You can catch Brent if you need more of Brent. You can catch Brent and myself usually on Will It Popcorn
every Wednesday. Make sure you're following us on Instagram and watch us. Well, this week I almost died, so that was fun.
Yeah, that was bad.
But watch us make popcorn along with other local business owners and kind of just have fun and expect the unexpected. You never know what's going to happen.
Yeah, you never know what's going to happen. And then your stores are, you said, in Hudson at the First and Main area, and then Front Street here in the Falls.
Front Street and Portage Trail in the Falls, First and Main in Hudson. And then Popcorn Truck is all over the place in Northeast Ohio. So best place to follow that is either on our Instagram or the Popcorn Truck Facebook page. Audrey, our manager, does a good job of keeping everybody informed of where we're going to be. We'll be at the winery at Wolf Creek this Saturday for the Goat Derby, which is a hoot.
I've never made it to the Goat Derby. Sounds like something that I should have on my bucket list.
Goats running uphill for everybody's amusement. it's a hoot.
Very good. Well, thanks for coming on, my friend.
You got it, buddy.
Ever feel like your marketing strategy is like throwing spaghetti at the wall? Well, at Digital Sandwich, we literally do that. Introducing the Spaghetti Session, a half-day extravaganza where we map out your entire year of marketing on the wall. No more guesswork, just strategy. We dive deep into messaging, content pillars, posting calendars, ideal customer profiles, offers, you name it. Imagine leaving with a plan so clear it sticks better than well-cooked spaghetti. So grab a fork and join us at our next spaghetti session. Digital Sandwich. We make marketing stick.